Osho, this, a thousand times this, the very essence of Zen. Talks given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India. Discourse number one.
Manisha. Before I start a new series of talks on Zen called This, the Very Essence of Zen, today I want to devote as a preparation for the coming Zen anecdotes, absurd yet profound, without any rationality, but still as truthful as language allows. I'm wearing sunglasses in the night. It is due to the courtesy of President Ronald Reagan. His poisoning has made many after effects. One of them is my eyes have immensely weakened. They cannot face even the daylight. But even through my glasses, I am perfectly able to see you. In this connection, a practical joke I have received an invitation from one of the most important global promoters for the election of the President of America. They want me to run for the presidency. And they are ready to promote even though I am prevented illegally, unconstitutionally from entering America for 10 years. But certainly, I can enter into the presidential election, the luck cannot prevent me. I can remain outside of America. I have said to Global Promotions that go ahead. It does not matter whether I win or lose. What matters is that it will decide how many intelligent people live in America. How many people have the sense of humor, and how many people have a universal sense of humanity as one. If by chance I win the presidency, it will be really the greatest laughter in the history. And it will be a beginning of a new day. I certainly hope there are people, irrespective of party or religion or prejudice, who will promote me just for the sake of a good laugh. These glasses will do good. They will look good on American television set. At least my face will be more presentable than Ronald Reagan. My fight continues against the illegality and the crime that has been done to me and to my commune and my people. You will be surprised that they went on delaying decision in the Supreme Court of Oregon till they expelled me out of America. I was for 5 years without any entry visa. They could not say to me to go out of America. They knew I was going to fight in the courts. And every American is a foreigner. The real Americans have been killed, massacred, forced into forests, into small reservations. They have even changed their name. They are called Red Indians. Even Ronald Reagan, is not an American. Neither was Abraham Lincoln. So there is no problem if other foreigners can be chosen to be the president of America. I am also eligible. And when they deported me, after that the Supreme Court of Oregon declared my commune to be victorious, and the party named 1,000 Friends of Oregon were defeated. They appealed to the Supreme Court of America, and the Supreme Court also gave its decision in my favor, that the destruction of the commune and expulsion of me and my people has been absolutely undemocratic, unconstitutional. This proves an old saying that law delayed is law denied. Now, what is the point of being victorious in the court, the highest court in America, when they have crushed everything, destroyed the commune which in 5 years 5,000 sannyasins have worked to create, 10 hours, 12 hours per day, and had transformed a desert into a beautiful city, a great experiment of brotherhood, of love, of peace, no crime, no court, no law. And 5,000 people created all the roads, transformed the whole desert into an oasis. It was not a small place. It was 126 square miles. It was almost a country. What was the fear to the American politician? The fear was our creativity, our laughter. The fear was our joy. For the first time in the history of the world, 5,000 people have lived as a family. Nobody asked anybody's country, our religion, our caste, our race. And every year 20,000 people around the world used to come to see this miracle. The American politician became disturbed by the success of the commune. There has been a great research going on by psychoanalysts on the eccentric people. And their findings are very revealing. first that the eccentric people are more intelligent, more creative, more joyous, than the ordinary mediocre masses. The so-called sane people are not so much creative. Secondly, in every profession, the eccentric person will rise higher just because of his creativity, sensitivity, intelligence. The researchers have found that politics is the only profession where, except Abraham Lincoln, there has not been any eccentric person. It is a strange finding. The politician is very cunning. He is not clever. He substitutes cunningness for cleverness. He is not wise, because to be wise in this world is to be condemned by the masses. And the politician cannot afford that. But all the great people, the poets, the painters, the sculptors, the scientists, the mystics, they have all been eccentric. The finding that the eccentric people don't bother about the masses, they are more integrated individuals. They live according to their own light. They have their own style. You may condemn them, but you cannot make them compromise. This research has given me an absolute certainty why the American politicians became so much disturbed by a commune which was joyous, intelligent, singing songs with the trees and dancing with the peacocks. They became afraid because the comparison was clear that the commune is reaching towards higher consciousness, higher liveliness, higher in every possible way than the ordinary masses. The politician was going to be asked why it is not happening in the whole world. If it can happen into a small commune and people can live lovingly, dancingly, joyously, then what is missing in the whole world? Why people are so miserable? just as Jesus is crucified, my people and the commune as a whole has been crucified. Even their own constitution could not support their act. But once something is disturbed, it is very much difficult to put it together again. But we are doing the experiment again. And we are in a far more successful stage now. Our people are more joyous, more meditative, more intelligent, uncompromising, this is the meeting of the eccentric people, but highly intelligent. My whole effort is to spread intelligence, love, freedom without any boundaries, without any frontiers around the globe. It can be done only by the individual. Not by religions, not by political parties, not by any other kind of organizations. The whole thing depends on the individual rising to the highest peak of his being and potentiality. I am giving you a second new meditation, because since Gautama Buddha, not a single new meditation has been evolved. This meditation will be the preface for the coming series on Zen. Zen means your very essence, your very being. I have talked about the meditation and a group of people have done it for 21 days. But you all have not been participants. In the beginning of this series, be participants in this meditation called Mystic Rose. It has four steps. All are designed for a particular purpose. To bring out all the poison from your being that has been injected by every generation for centuries. Laughter is the first step. One of the great writers
Narman has written just now his lifelong experiment. That if he laughs for 20 minutes without any reason, all his tensions disappear. His consciousness grows, the dust disappears, you will see it yourself. If you can laugh without reason, you will see something repressed within you. From your very childhood, you have been told not to laugh. Be serious. You have to come out of that repressive conditioning. The second step is tears. Tears have been repressed even more deeply. It has been told to us that tears are a symptom of weakness. They are not. Tears can cleanse not only your eyes, but your heart too. It softens you. It is a biological strategy to keep you clean, to keep you unburdened. It is now a well-known fact that less women go mad than men. And the reason has been found that the women are very easy to cry and weep than men. Even to the small child, it is said, be a man, don't cry like a woman. But if you look at the physiology of your body, you have, whether you are man or woman, the same glands full of tears. It has been found that less women commit suicide than men. And of course, no woman in the history has been the cause of founding violent religions, wars, massacres. If the whole world can learn to cry and weep again, it will be a tremendous transformation, a metamorphosis. The third step is silence. I have called it the watcher on the hills. Become so silent as you are alone on the top of an Himalayan peak. Utterly silent and alone. Just watching, listening, sensitive, but still. And the fourth step is let go. on every step, Nivedana will be asked to beat his drum. Yesterday he forgot himself into the meditation. I have been trying hard, but he was so much in his own gibberish. And what is the gibberish? He was fighting with Mukta. These are the two fighters here, Mukta and Nivedana. Mukta is fighting for the trees, Nivedana is fighting for the rocks. He did not listen once he started. Today he is not allowed to participate. It is your work to remember when I say beat the drum, beat it. Otherwise, everybody else around you will beat you. Agreed? Okay. We start our first step of the Mystic Rose Meditation. Give the beat, Nivedana. Nivedana. Relax. This is it, the experience, and the bamboos are giving the comment. Nivedana, come back. Okay, Manisha.
People who cough tonight, actually remind all of us that Bhagwan's body is incredibly delicate. He's very weak. He has no resistance. If he picks up a cold or any infection from anyone in here, it means we don't see him for weeks. So absolutely no coughing at all in Buddha Hall. If you think you're going to cough, please don't come. And if you get in here and you feel a cough coming on, repress it. Thank you.